Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this is episode 95, Lead with Boldness with Cassandra Sparks. From comfort zone to calling, bold choices, inner alignment, and trading routine for adventure. What this episode will do for you is learn from Cassandra's bold journey, how she reinvented her life multiple times, leaving comfort zones behind to align with purpose and passion. To understand the boldness continuum, how bold choices, big or small, can shift your mindset and lead to living more authentically. To overcome internal and external barriers, exploring Cassandra's strategy for navigating fear and self-doubt and handling resistance from others with empathy and confidence. Develop your inner compass by gaining insight into identifying and aligning with your core values to guide decisions and build a more fulfilling life, and to lead others across the bridge of change by learning how transformational coaches and thought leaders can guide others from stale mental models to meaningful new paradigms and embrace everyday boldness. Being inspired to shake up routines and live with a greater sense of intention, adventure, and self-awareness. But before we dive in, let's take a little step back. If you're new here, welcome to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm Chris McNeil, developer of the Thought, that's T-H-A-U-T, process of strategic thought leadership, and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership, coming this year. My gig is coaching and consulting individuals and organizations in strategic thought leadership. And this podcast exists to empower forward-thinking leaders like you to break free from outdated mental models and conventional marketing traps, like the ones that treat people as data points rather than engaged learners. The dominant marketing paradigm is still built on targeting, interruption, and manipulation, but real influence isn't chasing people down. It's leading them to fresh perspectives that empower them and make them want to return to your content and follow you. Strategic thought leadership shifts the game by focusing on guiding your audience to new ways of thinking that help them make better decisions, extract more value from your category, and maybe even upgrade your product or service to a previously unrecognized higher value. So it's not about just pushing content, it's about creating movements, reshaping beliefs, and amplifying impact in ways that traditional marketing can't touch. So that's why I started this podcast, and not just to explore these ideas, but to provide models of excellence. Real-world examples of leaders who are shifting industries, challenging norms, and building true authority. And if today's conversation sparks something in you, and you're ready to elevate your influence and escape the old tired marketing playbook, I invite you to take the next steps of downloading the free Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, or schedule a free consultation with me to explore how strategic thought leadership can fold time and amplify your results. The links for these are on the episode page. If you're listening on an app, the link to the episode page is in the description. In this episode of Thought Leadership Studio, I'm excited to introduce Cassandra Sparks, transformational coach, speaker, and author who helps people live bold AF, which of course means bold and free. Why boldness? Because strategic thought leadership means guiding others beyond outdated thinking into more empowered, authentic action based on new mental models. And boldness supports both that leadership and the journey across that bridge. Cassandra's own journey includes bold reinventions, leaving a stable career, launching a successful real estate business, and starting over to follow her calling. Her programs like Blueprint for Boldness help others do the same, trusting their inner compass, embracing fear, and making powerful, aligned choices. We explore how small, bold steps spark transformation and how living authentically means choosing growth over comfort. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host, Chris McNeil, with Thought Leadership Studio, and I'm sitting across Zoom with Cassandra Sparks, who understands boldness for what it really is, firepower in disguise. It's this inspired and strategic approach that has earned her a reputation for delivering results for professionals across the real estate, entertainment, media, and tech areas. As a motivational speaker and coach, Cassandra has helped hundreds of high achievers progress from just going through the motions to leveraging bold action as an accelerant for authority and authenticity. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
My pleasure. So sometimes we start these interviews with a discussion about pivotal moments, transformational times in the life of the guest that set them on the path to doing what they're doing now. If you had one of those, a pivotal moment or a phase shift or an awareness or insight that was kind of the aha thing that points you to what you're doing now?
Yes, indeed, Chris. I have had, in fact, at least three really pivotally transformative moments in the last several years.
Awesome.
A lot of my work is about living boldly and living authentically. And I like to consider myself or label myself as bold AF. Mm-hmm. And I've made three bold AF choices that have changed the trajectory of my life. I'll go through them super fast for your listeners. My first one was choosing to leave the very comfortable, stable position that I held in higher education. I worked there for over a decade. I had permanency. I had a steady paycheck and wonderful benefits. Unfortunately, I felt stifled and unable to grow professionally. So I made a bold AF choice to move from that space to one of the least predictable industries and created a successful real estate business. Now, I did not do this alone. I had an amazing mentor in real estate and business partner who helped guide and shape my journey. And together we created this amazing real estate team that doubled our team size and doubled our production year over year. We became a team of excellence and were sought after in the upstate New York area. And we were on top of our game. Unfortunately, I felt myself getting burned out so quickly in that work because it takes 90 days to close on the sale of a house in upstate New York, and the price points were relatively low compared with the rest of the state. So we had to do a lot of volume all at once. You know, we were juggling, let's say, 10 to 20 different transactions at one time.
Sure.
And so that just wasn't sustainable for me.
Right.
Which led me to my next bold AF choice of completely changing every part of my life all at once. Now, I consider myself to be an overachiever, always have been. And in true overachieving fashion, I just said, let me finally live the life that I've been waiting 20 years to live. Because I knew 20 years ago that I wanted to be a motivational speaker and a coach. And I knew that I could not really do that where I was planted geographically. So I made the very hard choice to change my marital status, change where I lived. I moved to South Carolina where I knew no one, all by myself, didn't even have a job lined up other than the business that I had started, changed my financial status, every part of my life all at once. And that was 2 years ago. And it's been a wonderful journey. I think I've felt every emotion on the planet in the last 2 years while experiencing what it means to live bold and authentically. It's thrilling, it's terrifying, it's exhilarating, it's freeing, it's scary and wonderful and everything in between. So yes, I believe that pivotal moments can shape us, and our outlook defines how we move forward with those moments.
Absolutely. It's what we do with those, isn't it? I love the reinvention aspect. And it's like a total reinvention of your self-concept in a sense too, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go into that. What does it mean to reinvent yourself in this manner? Since you've done it three times.
Yes.
And so you got some experience worth sharing. What would you share with our listeners about what it means to recognize you're in a comfort zone that doesn't suit you, then reinvent yourself to get out of it?
Absolutely. I think my first two bold AF moves, I reinvented myself professionally. And kind of that was the main impetus or the main change factor. But my third bold AF choice was a change of everything all at once, professional, personal, fiscal, etc., and really carving out an entire new life for myself. So what the last bold AF, not last, the most recent bold AF choice taught me was, or reminded me, because I always knew this, but what it reminded me of was the strength that I have and how well I know myself and my values, and that compass, that internal compass that I have, really helped me create solid footing in a brand new terrain and brand new space and create connection with people to start life anew after being coupled for nearly 20 years with a wonderful human being. What does it mean to now be a single person? What does it mean to not have the same support group right there and available to me easily geographically? What does it mean to be a motivational speaker and coach? All right, you've waited 20 years for it. You've started the business. What does it look like? How do you do it? So figuring out all these different pathways was extraordinarily exciting and challenging. And really what I think helped me is trust in myself and knowing what I know to be true. And that is, I have a passion for this. I have a burning desire to do it. I have important things I need to say to the world and share with the world. And I know I can help people who to get a, you know, to unleash their hidden firepower, just like I did. So really that's what I'm taking away from all of these pivotal shifts, is turning inward and asking yourself, I know this about me to be true, and then filling in the blanks.
So being really clear on that internal compass in terms of self-concept, and these value systems and core beliefs.
100%.
So what would be some examples of a strongly built internal compass to help guide us in these times of change? In terms of what values are important to you that have helped you in these, or what core belief systems have helped you?
That's such a great question. For me personally, kindness is one of my, it sounds so basic, but it is such an important belief and value for me. Kindness and empathy are at the core of me and my work. And even as I made hard decisions about leaving certain parts of my life, I left with kindness, left with love, and built my life forward with kindness and love. So that's a big part of what I find to be important. And knowing that for me, hard work, the knowledge that I have, the experiences that I've curated and cultivated speak loudly. And I don't necessarily have to shout about it, but I have the experience. So believing in myself, again, was so crucial. And there, I'm not going to lie, Chris, there were plenty of moments of doubt. I think it's very important to address authenticity and realism as a motivational speaker and coach, and to say there are moments of doubt and sadness and feeling hopeless or lost. That's the human experience. And to say that I didn't experience that would be an outright lie and do a huge disservice to the folks that are tuning in, because it's through those moments of doubt and uncertainty where we can really learn about how strong we are, how resilient we are, and what we're capable of. Because the truth of the matter is we've survived all of our hardest days. And that's such a wonderful thing to remember. Yes, life is hard and throws us curveballs and sometimes wants to keep us down. And it's how we can kind of grab onto that strength, pull it up from, you know, our guts, up through our heart and into our brain, so that we can come out of that and move forward with the realization of who we are and the gifts that we have to share with the world.
Well, the heroes in stories,
the heroes
series, yeah, they have the guardians of the threshold of change, and those can be external, but those can also be internal. Those echoes of the voices of people in the past who tried to define us as less than what we are. And how do we deal with those? How do you deal with those and bring the bold AF mindset to overcoming the internal and the external guardians of the threshold?
Of course. And to your point, you know, I often say we are both the hero and the villain in our own story.
Ah, okay.
We are our own harshest critics. Again, I think that's part of human nature. We often talk to ourselves in a way that we would never speak to a loved one. We're hard on ourselves. We might have negative self-talk. Being aware of when that self-talk is happening and say, like literally asking yourself, would I say this to my best friend, my partner, my family member, a parent, a sibling, a child, whomever? The answer is likely no. So when we create, when we find ourselves in that villainous space of our own doing, we can then become our own hero by reminding ourselves, hey, this is not my truth. This is not who I am. This might be the story that I'm telling myself. And the truth is, I am blah, blah, blah. I am all the positive things that you are, that you know to be true about yourself. And in terms of other people, those, what was the word that you used? I love it. I would like to hear that again.
Guardians of the threshold.
Guardians of the threshold.
Yeah, that's Joseph Campbell's work on Hero of the Thousand Faces.
Oh, I love it.
And the mythological construct of the story of the hero's journey. There's the growth of the hero comes from overcoming the guardians of the threshold to change. Otherwise, change would be easy, but not significant. If you want to bring back the elixir of truth to your tribe, you have to overcome the guardians of the threshold.
That's really great. That's really great. I like that so much. And, you know, other people, Oftentimes, let's talk about strategic change. Part of my coaching is helping folks navigate change strategically, whether it's changing jobs, asking for a promotion, changing a part of their social structure, marital status, relationship status, what have you. And a large part of that process is once we do all the groundwork of getting the change in place, a plan in place, then it comes time to talk about that change with other people. So I often coach folks on language that they can use that empowers them about the change, because it's harder for people to become naysayers when the person or you are speaking about the change with clarity, with confidence, with empowerment, and with belief. And then if those folks are still offering negative comments, I offer suggestions on how that person can allow those comments to flow in, filter out, and like be strained out of themselves, because we want it to kind of almost like Teflon bounce off of them versus weighing them down and becoming negative self-talk that fuels that doubt. So really for me, I find the phrase, thank you for your feedback, to have a lot of power. You know, I hear you and thank you for your feedback. It acknowledges the other person whilst not really opening the conversation for much further debate and saying, I hear you and thank you. And that can kind of end it without having to go too much further in.
Absolutely. That's a good strategy for defusing the negative beliefs others might impose on you. And then, of course, you have the voice in the head of all the different communications around limitations. And how do you turn those voices down or just laugh at them, haha, or just treat them like you're walking by a TV that's playing that and they're talking about somebody else and it doesn't apply to me? You know, how do you gain that distance and replace it perhaps with affirming? You spoke of confidence. The bold AF state includes confidence and clarity are two things I'm getting. What else does the bold AF state, that state that takes you past these barriers, that allows you to step into a consciously designed remake of your life that you have chosen?
Sure.
Completely and fully.
When I talk about bold choices, I often remind people that bold doesn't have to be big. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. A bold choice can be anything from trying a new type of coffee in the morning, or trying a new workout regimen, a new workout move. It could be traveling a different route to one of a, let's say, work or to church or to your family member's house, something new. It could be choosing to wear a bold color. It could be choosing a new hairstyle. It could be, speaking up in a meeting at work and saying, I disagree and here's why. There's so many different iterations of what boldness looks like. And it is so custom for each of us. I call it the boldness continuum.
Okay.
Because it really does kind of look like this. You can be a bold beginner and you can move to the bold AF side, and there's everything in between. So how do we, keep making bold choices? Because when we make bold choices, what happens is we start to authentically live our lives without even thinking about it. We're making choices that feel right for us. They're giving us courage. They're giving us new ways to look at the world. And that is just thrilling when we can open up our mindset and our worldview to new things. We just inherently make those bold choices, and then authenticity rolls organically from that.
So there's an aspect of waking up out of your habit patterns and choosing consciously.
That's right.
And so is there kind of a self-monitoring aspect where am I just acting out of habit or am I choosing this? Is there another choice I haven't considered because I'm acting out of habit? Is that a piece of it?
I do think there's a level of self-awareness that's required to live boldly. And sometimes we can become robotic. And that's some of the work that I do, is to help folks from just going through the motions to living with purpose. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I don't want folks to hear that and think, oh my gosh, I'm doing something wrong or that's bad, because it's not. It's, I think, a side effect of living comfortably and being in a routine and feeling like, okay, things are fine. Things are good. Could they be better? Yes. Am I, do I have the ability to do and be more? Yes, absolutely. So it's that level of self-awareness of assessing, am I doing this out of comfort and habit and routine? And what can I do to help me move, in a direction that feels a little bit more bold, different, exciting, to help us shake things up? Because monotony can get really tedious and boring. And doing the same exact thing every day without any growth can lead to someone feeling stagnant, stuck, suffocated. And then that negative self-talk clicks on so fast and so hard. And there we become the villain of our own narrative again.
This makes perfect sense. And it's in strategic thought leadership, sometimes we use the metaphor of an adventure guide. And what I'm getting is that Bold AF is about living life with a sense of adventure, where adventure becomes a higher value than comfort.
Yes.
And we set ourselves up for challenges by getting out of the comfort zone, putting ourselves somewhere that we're not used to being, having to think on our feet. And of course, in this type of thought leadership, it means we're taking people on an adventure trip with us.
Yes.
And having to entice others to step out of the comfort zone of stale old belief systems or mental models, perhaps about whatever category we're in, of a product or service or a type of profession. Like, here's a standard way of thinking. That's the comfort zone. I want to lead you out of that, across the bridge to a whole new land of more value or more excitement, or making smarter decisions, more clarity, or attaching it to a whole different purpose or value system than you may have attached to it before, that gives it more meaning and depth. So what does it mean to lead people across the bridge? You do it for a living, across the bridge out of comfort into adventure.
I like to say that I walk beside folks on their journey. And, I'm not in front of them. Sometimes I have to give them a little push. And that's great. I can offer some suggestions about what has worked, what I've seen that hasn't worked for myself and for other people. But getting folks from one side of the bridge to the other requires real talk from the client and me in a safe space where they can say, this is what I'm afraid of. This is what I am excited about. And this is why I want to do this. So what I'm afraid of, it's so important for me to honor that. Fear is a real thing and it can be paralyzing. And if we don't give it the honor and attention that it deserves, we can't overcome it, because we're just saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. I do the same thing with my public speaking training program. We have to honor and understand the fear in order to leap over the hurdle of the fear. So that's a key part of crossing the bridge. And then reminding folks why they're excited about that change. What's on the other side of that bridge? What are you working toward? What will life look like for you when you get to that other side of that bold and authentic life and continue down that path? Because bold and authentic living is constant, right? You have to keep doing it and making those bold choices every day to keep moving forward on your authentic path. And then reminding them of the why. Why are we doing this? What is your motivation? Is it so that you can make more money? Is it so that you can be a happier person? Is it so that you have more faith in yourself? Or is it that you can show up better for every single person in your life? Whatever it is, whatever the why is, tapping back into that as a source of motivation is key.
Seems like inner alignment seems to be a common theme in your own moves out of the comfort zone so that you're more authentic.
Yes.
Authentically living your higher values, your deepest self, that you that's been trying to come out. We find ourselves in situations where we're impeded. And then that fear piece, you know, and there might be something to it. You know, there might be a part of ourselves that's intuitively saying you need to check this out first. So maybe it requires some negotiation. Hey, fearful part, what are you trying to do for me? What's your intention here? Is there a way to meet that intention and step out of the comfort zone at the same time so you are with me on this adventure? Can you join me on this if we meet your concerns?
Yes.
A little inner dialogue perhaps might be in order for that.
I like that.
Tell our listeners more about the work you do and your coaching and your speaking.
Sure. Thank you for the invitation to do so. Mm-hmm. I have two coaching programs that are one-on-one. And the strategic change coaching program is called Blueprint for Boldness, where we go through three phases. We imagine, we identify, and we ignite. Mm-hmm. And within each of those three phases, there are four stages, which really equals a 12-step process. And all good programs are 12 steps, right? Yeah. So
12 months to a year should be 12 steps.
That's right. That's right. And so through this transformational process, we go from, I help folks go from that robotic state of feeling stuck. They know they want more and they're not sure how to get there. Mm-hmm. So we move through that process together. And by the end of it, they are at their goal or are about to, you know, just click into that goal and are ready to, and they have the tools that they need to keep moving forward on that path. Because as I said, it is a continual process of choosing to live boldly so that you can live authentically. The other training program or coaching program that I have is called Glow Up Your Communication. And GLOW stands for gain understanding of what a person is trying to accomplish in a presentation and what their fears are. Then we leap over the hurdles. We organize the content. And what that looks like is me helping them parse out what's really important, because oftentimes folks have so much knowledge and content. They're like, I don't even know where to start. So we organize the content and we create slick slide decks together. And then we wow the audience. And that encompasses everything from how we show up non-verbally to how we handle questions and answers from the audience or from the group that they present to. That program is a 6-week program typically. So those are ways that folks can unleash their hidden firepower with me one-on-one. And then in larger groups, I offer motivational talks or keynotes or workshops for folks in tech, in the real estate world, and in the media and entertainment world. And my talks range in topics from owning your power, which is a really great talk for folks that have that happen to work in an industry that might be male dominated. So how can women, for example, in tech, own their power, step into their authority, and claim their boldness? What does that look like for them? The stories we tell ourselves is a talk that we've kind of touched upon here. Who is the hero? Who is the villain? Who are the folks in the galaxy that are, you know, that are compelling our story? And then there's talks that help top performers in real estate become visible and kind of stand out in a crowd that can feel really saturated. Now, I also have talks that are for anyone. So my signature talk is all about how to live boldly and authentically. And we really dig into, what does that mean? Why should we do it? Why is it important? What does it look like? What does living authentically mean? And why bother? Well, because it changes our life. And the truth is, living inauthentically is pretty exhausting because you're denying your truth. You're denying who you are and who you are meant to be and pretending to be someone else or living your life on someone else's terms. And that definitely has an expiration date where you're just, I'm fed up, I've had enough.
Well, somebody might be asking themselves at this point, where do I find the energy for change? And you just kind of answered that, is releasing all the wasted energy we spend on internal conflict by getting aligned with your better self, your higher self, and glowing up to be the adult that your child wanted to be fully. So in owning your power, what are some key points of that? That's something I think anybody listening could relate to.
Sure. In the Own Your Power talk, we discuss how to set boundaries by using empathy, with empathy.
Okay.
I think oftentimes, especially at work, women are afraid to say no. That is a long ingratiated pattern, I think, that comes from just women overcoming so much in the workforce and yet still feeling like they have to say yes to things or quell and their voice and not speak up. So we talk about setting boundaries with empathy and how to say no with respect. We talk about ways to speak up and speak out in a way that feels authentic without being conceived as someone that's overbearing or overpowering, because I think, unfortunately, sometimes that's still a problem that women face in the workforce, is they, if someone is outspoken, they can be misperceived as being, I don't want to say a bully, but something negative. Usually there's a negative term that comes with an outspoken woman. And it's not in all cases. I'm not trying to paint this broad stroke that there's, you know, all this toxicity in the work environment. But I do believe that there are some cases where women still have to overcome these barriers. And it's my hope that the Own Your Power talk provides them with tools and the motivation to do so with consistency.
I love that. And can you bring this a little more out of the abstract for the listener and maybe give an example of owning your power, speaking up, but maintaining empathy and grace as you do that?
Sure. Let's say you are at work and you have a full plate. Your calendar's full for the day. You have several projects you're working on, and a supervisor comes to you and says, I need you to do this right now. It's very important and it needs to be done by the end of the day. And okay, we start to panic inside because we know that, okay, the calendar's full. I'm balancing 16 other things. So you could say something like, I hear you saying how important this is, and I have a full day. I want to help you, and I need to know how, like, what is the timeline for me to do this for you precisely? And what can I shift? What can I shift away to make room for this? So it's almost like saying, I will do this for you, and I need you to know that I have to let go of something else right now. Because if you don't say that second part of I have to like shift my priorities, then what happens is that supervisor expects everything to be done. And so we're saying, I'm going to make room on my plate for this important thing. I'm going to clear out the, let's say, the peas, and I'm going to keep the mashed potatoes, and I'm going to keep the meat. And we'll add in, let's say, green beans on this new project, but the peas have to go. So it's acknowledging the shifting of responsibilities and saying, yep, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And this has to shift in order for me to do it, so that the supervisor has clear understanding and expectations of what's possible that day or that week, depending on the timeline.
Love that. And it's part of that challenging your own concept of your role mm-hmm. and your power in the situation.
Yes, I think anytime you bring a challenge or question a supervisor and say, or push back in any way, I think there's a level of discomfort there, because we want to make our supervisors happy. We want to do good work. We want to be trusted. And by saying no, we risk shifting that perception. I posit that saying no is actually garnering more respect, because it's saying to the supervisor, I know what I'm capable of. I know where my boundaries are, and I'm going to communicate that to you. It's also showing respect for yourself and really a lot of ownness on what your strengths are and what you're capable of completing in a realistic time frame. And it's setting you up to succeed as well.
Love that. Respect for yourself is certainly a guiding principle there. So for our listener who might be wondering at this point, am I living bold AF? You know, how do I know that? What would I have to do that if I'm not? What are some signs to look for?
Well, bold AF living looks a little bit different for everyone. And I think one of the telltale signs is, do you feel like you are excited? Do you feel challenged in a good way? Do you feel like you're excited to take on something new? Do you feel like you are making choices for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, a key component of living boldly. See, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I spent most of my life living for other people.
And by that, let me clarify for the listener, you mean Please. That you're recovering from being a people pleaser,
right?
Not that you're a person who pleases recovering people.
You are correct.
It could be taken. Right. Okay, just want to clarify that.
That's right. I was someone who lived in a space where I did what I thought other people wanted me to do,
mm-hmm.
behaved how I thought other people needed me to behave from the time that I was a young person, a young child. And stepping out of that space took such strength and such courage and such boldness and belief in myself. And again, going back to that internal compass of, here's what I know to be true about me. So boldness and choosing to live boldly means choosing to live for yourself and make choices for yourself. Now, some people say to me, well, that sounds awfully selfish To which I say, I understand how you can perceive it that way, but is it selfish to live life on your terms, to on a path to achieve your dreams and your goals so that you can live a life that is true to you? And again, show up with brightness and joy and true wonderment for other people, because you found that within yourself. You're just like exuding this version of you that draws other people in such a genuine way. So it's not selfish to live boldly or to make choices that seem bold, because it really is just helping that person become the best version of themselves so they can be the best for other people.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they tell us in airplanes, hey, if the plane is going down, even if you have a child with you, give yourself oxygen first. Because if you don't, there might not be someone able to take care of the child. If we don't take care of ourselves first, how are we going to best help others?
Yes. Well, that's
only by being our best self can we do that. This has been awesome, Cassandra. And we usually wind these interviews up in two ways. You've already done a fantastic job, actually, of answering the questions proactively. Maybe you can kind of summarize, because there's two kinds of questions. The first question is, what are the top three things that you would recommend the listener do on their own behalf to utilize your teachings and the bold AF in their life? Second question is, if someone's listening to this thinking, hey, I'd like to reach out to Cassandra and learn more about her speaking or her coaching, how would they find you?
Great. I'm going to go backwards.
Okay.
The second question.
Sure.
The easiest way to get in touch and learn more is to pop over to my website, CassandraSparks.com. Mm-hmm. On the website, there is information about the coaching programs, as well as all of my motivational talks, and folks can learn more about me and my journey. I'm also on social media. The handle is at CassandraSparks, Y-O-U, CassandraSparks U, mm-hmm. on all the social channels.
Love it.
So folks can follow and like and subscribe and get motivation right in their feed so that it starts to become this repetitive experience in their subconscious. Okay. And then eventually they'll become conscious of it, which is the goal.
Very good.
In terms of your first question, the top three things that folks can do on this quest for bold and authentic living.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, listen to your gut. And when you're listening to your gut, check in your heart on the way up and in your brain, because you know yourself better than anyone. So if something doesn't feel quite right, ask yourself why. Sit with it, explore it. Something feels great, understand why and how you can get more of that feeling. Number two. So we have trust your gut, and then we have believe in what's possible. Believe in what you're capable of. Believe in the knowledge that you have, the experiences that you've lived. Absolutely create who we are. And some of those experiences are positive and help us grow in really wonderful ways. And some of those experiences are negative and help us grow in different ways. So being aware of the lived experiences that you have and how they shape your belief system is crucial. Trust your gut and be self-aware. Third, don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try something new. Again, a new food, a new workout move, a new type of clothing style, a new route of walking, running, driving, a new conversation with someone, make a new friend, whatever it is. try something new, because it's through new experiences that our worldview expands and we are able to really ask ourselves, hey, internal compass, how we doing? Are we on track? Do we need to recalibrate? Do we need to adjust north, south, east, or west on our path of bold and authentic living?
Love it. Well, this has been a pleasure, Cassandra.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I appreciate you and the work that you do with thought leadership and how you guide people in their journeys.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant, creator of the Thought Process, that's THAUT, of Strategic Thought Leadership, and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. This has been episode 95, Lead with Boldness with Cassandra Sparks, Escaping the Comfort Zone and Living with Purpose, where we explored things like three bold moves that changed everything, your inner compass as an ultimate change strategy, guardians of the threshold, overcoming the inner and outer voices of doubt, bold AF, replacing comfort with conscious choice, and crossing the bridge, leading others from comfort into bold adventure. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's conversation, if you're listening on an app, head to the episode page at thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description. There you will find a curated transcript, links to Cassandra's programs and website, and other valuable resources to help you move from intention to bold action. While you're there, be sure to download the Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership or schedule a free consultation with me to explore how the thought process can help you lead more strategically, break out of limiting paradigms, and elevate the impact of everything you communicate, market, and lead. You can consider it breakthrough engineering through communication engineering. And if you found value in this episode, share it with someone who's ready to live a little bolder. Or post it on your social media to help spread bold, empowering ideas. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review so we can keep creating more content like this for you. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Chris McNeil, and this is Thought Leadership Studio. See you next time.
Thought Leadership Studio.